Happy 4th of July. Yeah, 5th of July. Yesterday was the 4th, and I know you had a great time. That meant that our nation is 233 years old. Now, that's a baby. That's an infant nation in world standards. It's just a young, young nation, yet it still stands the tallest, the strongest, the best. You know, it should have made us recognize the privilege that it is to be an American or to live in America, or both. You know, it's only in America that a million people will show up for a funeral that never happened for a person who wore pajamas to courtroom. So, you know, that Michael Jackson thing, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, I'm saying it in a way that only in America. You know, America is amazing. America is unique. America is special. But America, one thing that makes America, America, is how it encompasses all kinds of people. It's just amazing. And one of the things that makes America great is the heroes in our midst. We can go all the way back to 1776 and all the way through to today, and it will happen, it will continue on in the future, because we have had people, heroes, who have served in the armed forces, men and women. And, you know, we have veterans right here. Many of you are veterans. You've served in the armed forces, and you're heroes in our midst. We can go all the way back to the days of George Washington, and it's just amazing because America would not be America without you. And right now we have young men and young women who are serving. They attend church here. They're members of church here. Or they're members to your family or your loved ones. But they are young men and young women right now, and they're heroes in our midst. And what makes them heroes, you see, you look at the scriptures, and you find always that there were heroes in the midst. All with all the people. You look at Bible characters, and you see that there were Bible heroes. There was Joshua and Caleb. You know, there was Gideon. There was Deborah. There was David, David's mighty men. And they were heroes because they understood the privilege that it is to be and to experience freedom. See, we don't just experience it, we are it. America is free because we're free. We live in a land of the free. So I was reading something and it was about the elections. No, it wasn't. It was about a husband and a father and a son. And the father was having a debate with his son. His son was obstinate, and he was kind of coming against his dad. His dad had served in the armed forces, and he was telling his son, "Listen, every single person who lives in the United States of America is privileged and is a privileged person." And his son says, "I disagree." And the dad said, "That's the privilege. You have the privilege to disagree. You have the privilege to speak your mind. You have the privilege to bear arms. Yes, I know it's a freedom, but we have the privilege for the freedom. It's a privilege to bear arms. It's the privilege for the freedom of religion. You're not told how to believe. You get to go to church where you want to and believe what God shows you to believe. You have the freedom of press. You have the freedom to bear arms. We have these amazing freedoms, the freedoms to assemble ourselves. We have these amazing freedoms in America that other nations just don't have like we have it. We have the freedom in America to not only dream. You can dream anywhere. But in America, you can pursue that dream as long and as hard as you want to. That's America. America is amazing. And you know what? Of all the places you could live in the world, would anybody rather live someplace else than in America? You know, it's got to be number one. It's the number one place that I would want to live and that I'm going to live if I have anything at all to say about it. And I believe that there are people that don't experience all that God has for them and don't experience the best life they can have because they become negative about America. I've never seen anybody be negative about America, whether it was a person or a nation, and come out well. It doesn't work well when you're negative about America. There's a penalty to pay when you become negative about America. I was reading this article. It was about the 2004 election. And it was about Al Gore, and it was about Howard Dean. And I want to show it to you. I want you to read it along with me. It says, the reason Howard Dean with Al Gore lost is that they ran a negative campaign. But the problem wasn't that they were negative about other candidates. It was that they were negative about America. I've never seen anybody win, come out on top, when they're negative about America, because there's a penalty to curse or be negative about what God has blessed. Now, I have a scripture, and I want to read it to us, because it talks about what makes a nation great, what makes a great nation. And it's in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, and it says this, I will make you a what? A great nation. Now, so I'm going to explain it a little bit better of what the context is here, but I want us to see that these are the makings of a great nation. It says, I'm going to make you a great nation, and I will bless you. A great nation is blessed of God. He says, I will make your name great. A great nation is respected. Its name becomes great. And you will be a blessing. Not only is a great nation blessed, but it becomes a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of earth, on earth, will be blessed through you. Now, I know what the context is here. I know that the Lord is really speaking here to a man at this time was named Abram, became Abraham. But he's speaking to Abram. And I know that the initial fulfillment of that verse and that passage of what the Lord said was the natural nation of Israel. I know that. And I know that its fruition came about for the church. We are the nation of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever that you live, in any part of the whole planet. But it just seems that it's talking about America. It just seems, and I know that America was founded upon the seed. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says that he's the seed, not many seeds, but it talks about the seed. We are founded upon the seed of God. The Jesus Christ, his principles and his teachings, is what America is, of course, established upon. So we know that, and our money still says what? In God, we trust, and that's in uppercase, capital letters, and it's going to stay that way if I have anything to do with it. How about you? Right? That's what we're talking about. And my point here is that there is a penalty to curse or to be negative about what God has blessed, and obviously he has blessed America. America is a blessed. I mean, the song we just heard, From Sea to Shining Sea, all the natural resources that God has blessed this great land with, and all the amazing people with their great genius, their ingenuity, how amazing, how blessed is America. It stands second to none. And he goes on in that context that we read, it says that I'll make your name great. Every nation in the world knows of America. Envies America, fears America, even if it's its enemy, it still fears America, and it honors America. Its name is great. He goes on, and he talks there, he says, I'll make you a blessing. You're going to be a blessing. You know, no other country in the world has blessed the world, the planet, since the beginning of time, as has America. It's not only given its finances to other countries. It's not only given its genius and ingenuity to other countries. It's not hoarded all that. It's given its blood. There's no other nation since the beginning of time that has ever done what America has done. And in one way or another, every nation on this planet has been blessed because of America. You know, even in America's weak points, and I was thinking about this, the points that they say America is weak, it's still the strongest. In our weakness, we're yet the strongest. For example, we're hearing a lot right now about medical insurance, you know, about health insurance, and they're going to reform that. They're going to reform it. They're going to make it better, is what we're hearing. But, you know, I studied a little bit, and I listen, and I pick up on stuff, and what I've seen is that every country, every nation that's tried to do it better, do it a different way, it's just not working. No country in the world can you go to and get the quality of health care and the expedience of health care that you can get in America? And you know, there's this adage, there's this saying that you get what you pay for, right? Listen, when you need medical care, you'll pay for it. And you don't care. You don't want to have to wait in line if you need something right then. So even in that weakness, we're still the best, if that is a weakness. And then they talk about our school systems, you know, and our education systems, that it's deteriorating. And I think about that, you know, but every person, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman or whether you're a white person or a black person or whether you're Hispanic or Oriental or Jew or Gentile, you can get as much education as you want in America. You can pursue it as long as you want to and go as high in it as you want to in America. So, you know, I look at it and comparing America to the genius of other nations, we're not behind. Again, in a weakness that they say is a weakness, is really not. And I don't think it's the school systems anyway, that's where the weakness is. I think it's in the home and the family. I think we're sending rebellious kids to school. And your school teachers would say, okay. Some did. One other thing that we hear is poor in America is our race relationships, you know, that we have this weak point in our race relationships and our prejudices. But yet we amaze the whole world by electing Barack Obama, an African-American, as president of the United States of America. And again, every ethnic group, every nation, every country is lined up to come and to get into America. I don't care what their color is. I don't care what their orientation is. I don't care where they're from. They're lined up from all around the world to come in to America. So it must not be that bad. Even in that weakness, we're still at the top. And taxes. Nobody likes taxes. Nobody. We complain about our taxes and our tax system. But, you know, if you lived in another nation that had a comparable lifestyle as does America, which there is really not one, but if you were to live in some place like this, do you know that you would pay more taxes than you pay here? And if you want to change your thoughts about taxes, then go to a third world country. I promise you that when you come back here, you will gladly pay taxes. I went on a foreign missions trip, and it was the first one I'd ever been on, the one I was speaking of. And we were in a car, and this guy who was a native in the nation that I was in was driving us, and there was a roadblock, and so we stopped at the roadblock, and they began questioning us, "Who are you? Where are you from? What are you doing here?" And we started looking around, and they had a rifle over here, automatic rifle, and an automatic rifle over here, pointed right at our car. Now listen, looking down the barrel of a rifle in a foreign land, it's not fun. And we would go into the airports, and they would be walking around with strapped on automatic weapons hanging off their side. That's a little unnerving. The roads were horrific. I mean, it was terrible. Just that wide. I mean, literally, for two cars to go down. It was horrible. Listen, when you come back to America and you get to experience, number one, the security that we experience here, and you get to experience, number one, the luxuries that we take so for granted here, you will, like I did, I'll say I'll gladly pay taxes to live in this America. You're worth it. Even in our weaknesses, the places that they say we're weak, we stand still the tallest. America is the best. It's the absolute best place to live. It really, when you look at it, it just doesn't have weak spots. It's got places that maybe could be a little better, but it just doesn't have weaknesses. I read this, and I want to read it to you, and I think it's so good, and I want to share it with you. It's from a French writer. His name is Alexis de Tocqueville, and it's coming up on the screen. There it is. I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forest, and it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning. And it was not there. I look for it in her Democratic Congress and in her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. America is good. It's great because America is good. And you know what? America will be good to any person or any nation who will let her be. America is great because of the pulpits. Now, just think about that just a second. Every country has natural resources. Some have just as plentiful of natural resources as does America. Every country has economic systems and commodities and is able to function in resources and those kinds of things. Some countries have as much teaching and as much education as does America. Even some nations have a Democratic Congress. But there is one thing that you find in America that you find in no other country. And I don't care whether you go to the tiniest of communities or whether you go to the largest metropolis. One thing you're going to find is a church. In the tiniest of communities to the largest metropolis, you're going to find. And you know, we giggle and we laugh sometime about how many there are. But every single one of those has a pulpit in it, and every single one of those have people that attend. And from that pulpit, those people are taught. And by their showing up every single week, by your showing up today, you're pledging allegiance to Jesus. You're pledging allegiance to the Lamb. And this happens all over the country. Again, from the tiniest of communities, you're going to find a church. To the largest of metropolis, you're going to find churches. And they're all proclaiming Jesus Christ. That makes it good. The proclaiming of Jesus makes people good. And because America is good, America is great. And without her having so many pulpits, without her having so much declaration, there is no good. And so when America ceases to have pulpits, America will cease to be great. America is good. It's great because America is good. And I want to make sure that we get it. You see, the one thing that differentiates America from any other country that you'll go into are the many, many churches, the many, many pulpits that proclaim Jesus Christ. It makes America great. America is good. America is great. It's time. It's the time of the year when we remember in one way or the other what a great nation we have, how wonderful America is. It's the time of the year that we're brought to focus upon heroes in our midst and the veterans that are around us even today, the veterans that have lived in the past and have served this nation from 1776 and will continue to serve it, the people, our young men and young women who right now are serving, they're heroes in our very midst. They're amazing people making America what America really is. Don't be negative about America. You don't talk negative about what God has blessed if you really want to have the best life that you can possibly have. And always remember that we pledge allegiance to the Lamb, and by so doing, this translates into pledging allegiance to the United States of America, making America good. So what I wanted to do today, instead of the normal way that we end a service with an altar call and responding in that way, what I wanted us to do today is I wanted us all just to stand together. And this one time, we don't do it this way any other time in the year, but stand together and pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Now, before we start it, it's going to be on a video. And then after the video, there's going to be an image up there. I want to tell you what the image is. It's those young men and young women who attend LifeGate Church or are loved ones of LifeGate Church who are serving right now. They're in your gateway. We pray for them every week. We We pray for them, and we ask you to pray for them. Their image will be up on there. And then after that, you can be seated again, but there's going to be another fireworks display, okay? So let's pledge allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.